concept. I had been reading, and this devotional had said, it had talked about this, the image of the Garden of Gethsemane, of Jesus, specifically in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and not only is he praying, but he's sweating drops of blood, and he's passionately praying for what's about to happen, and he's just in agony while praying. And if you were to walk up onto that scene, and you were to see this serene area of just a grove of trees and olive trees everywhere, and you see a group of three guys over here, and they're sleeping and resting, and you see a guy over here, and he's just in agony and grief, all by himself, nobody else around, praying to the Lord. You would say, you would maybe think, what's going on with this guy? Why don't you just rest? This is such a restful place and such a serene moment. But when the battle came to Jesus, when all of those came to take him away, he was calm the entire time, because the battle had been fought and the battle had been waged, and it was won in that garden. And he knew that it was God's will that he go through this next series. In the midst of all that, it may have looked like the disciples were resting, but when trouble came and the battle came to the disciples, they all took off. And so we made it a point this last week to battle in prayer and to battle for what God is doing in way of life and what he's going to be doing in the near future. And today we get to celebrate a special offering. And you may have come today not expecting to give anything, and this is for our homeland missions. This is for Lucille's home, which has been blessed this week in awesome ways. It's just been a really powerful week for that. I believe that the battle was won in prayer, and that God did some really awesome things this week for some ladies that were in desperate need. And but we want to do more of that. We want to lead people well. We want to evangelize to people well. And so that's what today's about, and our special offering is about. And so I'm going to encourage you this morning. Hopefully you've already been in prayer about what you're going to give. Hopefully you've talked about that with anybody that you're giving with, spouse or neighbor or whatever. And anyway, and you've already talked about it and you want to give. So we're going to encourage you to give this morning before. And if you haven't given, or if you didn't bring your checkbook or whatever, and you want to make a pledge to give, there's pledge cards over there. You can fill those out and give. Our hope is that God would exceed our goal. Our goal is $8,000, and he can do it on his own, and so he can make it happen. So, but we want to give you an opportunity to join with us in that. And so I'm going to pray for our special offering. Give you a chance to go get some goodies. Give you a chance to get some goodies, get some coffee, whatever. Grab a pledge card if you need to. Put your offering in the basket back there. Then we're going to, I'm going to encourage. Okay, all right. We'll do that in announcements. So anyway, grab all your goodies and stuff, and then we'll come back here and do announcements and hit the scriptures hard. Sound good? All right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this special offering. Lord, you have blessed us abundantly, Lord. As a church, we have sacrificially given, and we've given away a lot of money, Lord God, for your name and your glory. And Father, we want to serve you well in this area. We believe that you've called us to Salem. We believe that you have called us to be a light in this dark place and to shine brightly, Lord. And so we pray that you would bless this time, that you would bless our special offering, and that it would just be a great time in worship to you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and greet everyone in here. Give them a hug. Say hi. And then we'll meet back here in a second.
welcome to Way of Life Fellowship. We're glad to have you with us this morning. I'm going to do a couple announcements as you're finding your seats. Hopefully you all grabbed a bulletin already. There's extras over on the table right there by the offering basket. Be sure to also grab a flyer about the relational leadership training. If you're interested in that, that starts this week, so we need you to sign up today if you'd like to take that class that we've been talking about. And I also wanted to let you guys know that there are copies of the photo directory available over there as well. If you should have received it by email, but if you want a hard copy, they're over there. We have a time change on corporate prayer. It's still going to meet Sunday evenings, but it's going to be at 6 o'clock, so from 6 to 7 at the Robertson. So make sure you take note of that. It's an hour earlier than it used to be. That starts tonight with the 6 o'clock time change. Also, you'll see in the bulletin there's details about a youth group event. So if you are 6th to 12th grade, make sure to grab that and sign up for that. And then the Ladies Coffee Connection for October, which is coming up in a couple weeks, will be at my house this for October. So grab the details on that as well. Like Chris said, if you can drop your offering for the special offering in the basket over there or use a pledge card if you'd like, we're going to count that up and be able to see the total and all celebrate together at the end. And we wanted to let you guys know a little bit more details about one of the ministries that is blessed through our offering, this offering that goes to support local missions and ministries here in the Salem area, and that is the Seals Home. And so Sharon is going to come up and share a little bit about what's going on with that.
good stuff right there. Ministry that was birthed in Sharon many years ago that came to fruition because of her faithfulness. And she stopped worrying about where money would come from and how life was going to work when doing God's will in her life. And she started doing God's will, and things started coming her way, and God just blessed and gave her an opportunity to be blessed. And so, well, welcome. Glad that you're here. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into Scripture this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for what you're doing. Thank you for Lucille's home. Thank you for all of the women that have been touched by that ministry, been blessed by that ministry, all of the women and the children, Lord God, that get to see your love through that home, through Sharon and through Way of Life, Lord. We're just so looking forward to the day when we get to stand before you and we get to see all of the line of people that came to know you because of that ministry, Lord. Father, thank you for the other ministries, for the Gospel Guy Network, and for Salem Leadership Foundation, and I'm missing one, too. And so, Lord, thank you for those ministries, and just pray that you would bless them abundantly, and bless them indeed, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week we watched a sketch by Bob Newhart, where Bob Newhart played a psychiatrist, which isn't abnormal for Bob Newhart to play in that position, but Bob Newhart, a comedian, was practicing. His entire practice was built on two words, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T, stop it. Stop it. And that's what we had been talking about. We talked about that last week. We talked about stop focusing on yourself. Stop focusing on your kingdom. Stop focusing on your sin. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus. And so this week, we're going to continue that. And we're going to continue our Stop It series with kind of a tough subject. And I think this subject has been paralyzing a lot of people within the church. I think that Satan has used this as a means to disrupt and bring a lack of peace and a lack of joy to the church, which then in turn causes people to look at the church as not much different than the world. And that issue is worry, anxiety, fear. We fear a great many things. We fear we may lose another loved one, or that we may lose our job, or we fear that our marriage will dissolve, or that someone in our family will get sick, or that an illness that we've overcome will come back. And many people live with a lot of fear, a lot of worry. God may be saying to you, you don't want to go through life always afraid, do you? Then stop it. Stop it. Stop worrying about it. Stop thinking about it. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline, 2 Timothy 1:7. God doesn't give us a fearful spirit. He gives us a spirit of power in the Holy Spirit. He gives us His love and His grace. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. When we live in fear, we give Satan power and a foothold in our lives. When we live in worry, we give Satan an ability to have a handle on our lives. And it underestimates the power and the love that God has for us. And Romans 8:15 says this, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father or Daddy. We have a spirit, God's Spirit, inside of us. Not the spirit of fearful slave. Now we can call Him Abba Father. We can call Him Dad. By the way, fear is not always a bad thing. And I don't want to just say a blatant statement that fear and get rid of it and stop all fear, because fear keeps us safe. Fear of getting hit by a car should cause us to look both ways, right? Washing our hands is a good idea. Not to fear the germs, but to take care of our hygiene and those sorts of things. And so we need a healthy amount of fear, and we need, but it should not paralyze us from doing things that God has called us to do. And maybe you're thinking today, my problem isn't fear. My problem is more worry than fear, and I worry that something bad will happen, or I worry about my kids when they're not at home, or I worry that I'm going to get sick and I'm going to leave them behind, or I worry about my finances. I worry about a lot of things, and God may say to you, do you think worry will change things? I mean, really, what percentage of what we worry about actually happens? Do you want to go through life always worrying? No. Stop it. Stop worrying, fretting, and being troubled about anything or anyone. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Philippians 4:6. Stop being anxious about your circumstances and your situation, and cast all anxiety on Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Now, I want to be careful. This is a very, I want to be careful at this point, because it's difficult to kind of compare worry and anxiety. And so after looking at Scripture and doing a bunch of study, I'm convinced now more than ever that worry and anxiety, although they are in effect very similar, are different animals. They're different. And so let me give you some examples in order for you to understand or to grasp the concept of and do a little bit of understanding between worry and anxiety. We tend to experience worry in our heads where anxiety happens in our bodies. Worry tends to be more focused on thoughts in our minds, where anxiety is more visceral. It's more what we feel throughout our bodies. Worry tends to be specific, where anxiety seems to be more general. We worry about getting to the airport on time. That's a specific threat. We worry about that. And it causes us to strategize. It causes us to plan so that we don't have to worry about it. Where anxiety, more general, would say, I'm anxious about traveling. It's more vague. It's more of a general concern. Worry often triggers problem solving, and anxiety does not. Worry can lead us to think about situations and strategy and solutions for dealing with a given situation. Anxiety is more like a hamster wheel that spins around and around and around, but doesn't lead to any productive solutions. Instead, anxiety's general nature makes it less friendly to problem solving. It's difficult to problem solve when you have high anxiety. You have adrenaline rushing through your body. Worry creates mild emotional distress, whereas anxiety can create severe emotional distress. Anxiety is simply a much more powerful and hence disruptive and problematic psychological state than worrying. It's like worrying on steroids. It's a worry that you can't seem to grasp or get a hold of. Worry is caused by a more realistic concerns. Anxiety is far more abstract. If you're concerned about getting fired because you did really poorly on a project, you're worried. If you're concerned about getting fired because your boss didn't ask about your child's piano recital, you're dealing with anxiety. You're anxious. We may try to say stop it to a person who has anxiety, but it would be like saying stop it to a person who's just broken their arm. We may try to rationalize with the anxious person that the dissemination of the adrenaline throughout their body makes the issue real, even if it's irrational. Worry tends to be controlled and logical. Anxiety, much less so. By problem solving and thinking through strategies to deal with and cause the cause of our worry, we can diminish it greatly. We have much less control over our anxiety, though, as it's much harder to talk ourselves out of it when adrenaline is coursing throughout your body. Worry tends to be temporary. Anxiety can linger. Once we resolve the issue that's worrying us, our worry diminishes and even can disappear. Anxiety can linger for long periods of time and even jump from one focus to another. Worry doesn't impact our daily functioning. Anxiety does. No one takes a sick day to sit and worry about whether or not their teenager will do well on exams, but anxiety can make us feel so restless, so uncomfortable, and incapable of concentrating that we might feel literally too distressed to work. Worry is considered normal, while anxiety is not. In certain instances and in certain intensities and durations, anxiety can be considered a true mental disorder, one that requires psychological treatment and or medication. Anxiety, just to put it in this concept, is like the lady at that doctor's office who comes in and says, "I really worry about being locked in a box." That's anxiety that she's dealing with. Now, he says, "Stop it," and it makes sense to us logically to say, "Stop it. Has anyone threatened you to be locked in a box?" No, but every time I'm in anything boxy, I feel this way. She's claustrophobic. She has anxiety about it. So what does that feel like? For somebody who doesn't struggle with anxiety, it feels a lot like that feeling of restlessness that you might get when you're sick, but not so sick that have you ever felt that feeling? Like you're laying down on the couch because your head is so heavy, but your entire body is like, "I need to do something with myself." You ever feel that feeling? Or that feeling that you're running a race, but you've never left your seat. You're in a battle, but you haven't left your seat. This feeling of stuck or being stuck or trapped or needing to escape, but a fear that you cannot escape it, and that causes you to hamster wheel the thing and run around in circles with anxiety. That is something that I believe that Satan has grabbed a hold of a lot of people within the church and caused such a paralyzing fear and such a paralyzing worry that it has caused joy to diminish in such a great number that people look at the church and say, "This doesn't look any different than what I deal with outside of the church. Where is the hope?" Even though it may not be as simple as saying stop it when dealing with anxiety, we must follow the directives of Scripture. And there must always remain a hope that there is life without anxiety and fear and worry waiting for us. So let's begin that journey of what the Lord says in Scripture, that it might help us to overcome first worrying, then fear, and ultimately and prayerfully it should reduce our anxiety. So, first of all, Jesus...